Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Takes me back, man. NBA 2K12 intro. My favorite NBA 2K of all time. Good stuff from Jake Meyer on the boards. Ones and twos in for Andrew Detmer. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into this segment because this is just perplexing. I wake up, the news comes down, and now everything's kind of wonky for the Denver Nuggets. Let's get on out now to the GoFast Energy Drink Hotline and text line 303-831-1340. Bring in my guy, Ryan Blackburn. He is the site manager over at Denver Stiffs, as well as the host of the Pickaxe and Roll podcast right here on the Mile High Sports Podcasting Network. Ryan, my man, how we doing on this Thursday?
I'm good, Anil. I appreciate you having me on. And like you, I was very confused when I woke up this morning and saw the Mike Singer report that the Bol Bol trade is going to be null and void.
So how do we even get to this point? Because, I mean, I'm remembering 2-3 days ago, the Nuggets and the Pistons Twitter accounts both saying, official, Bol Bol has been traded. Yada, you know, the official, everything's coming out. And here we are on a Thursday at 9:30 in the morning, and now Bol Bol's on his way back. I mean, how did we even get to this point?
Yeah, so I think this is a classic case of social media accounts kind of jumping the gun. On when a trade was made official, and it was, to be clear, this trade was made official, but it's always pending physicals. And when you send a player like Bol Bol, who hasn't played a ton this year, the Detroit Pistons are very interested in him. They wanted to get him into their building, see what he looked like, and they apparently found something that they just didn't like in his physical report that was not something that they wanted to deal with when they made the trade. I'm not surprised that something like this happens. It doesn't usually happen because usually a player like Bol Bol or from Denver's side of things, usually the team will catch it. But the Nuggets, they felt like they were okay with Bol Bol's physical health, and the Pistons did not agree.
So where does Denver go from here with Bol Bol? And I mean, it just seemed like, you know, Detroit was honestly kind of an ideal landing spot for him, right? A team that's young, trying to figure out their identity, can play with Cade Cunningham, give him an opportunity to, you know, get some consistent run in before he hits restricted free agency. If he can't pass a physical with the Detroit Pistons, who's to say he can pass a physical with any other team should Denver want to trade him?
Yeah, that's a great point. And if the Pistons aren't willing to take on that responsibility, take on a flyer for a player that's going to be there for, 3 months before hitting free agency, then I'm not sure a lot of other teams are going to be willing to do the same thing. Like you said, the Pistons are an ideal match for a player like Bol Bol, who very raw, doesn't necessarily have the refinement of a player that the Nuggets need right now, but he has the skill set that a team like Detroit should be coveting. What they found was that it just wasn't meant to be, and that he wasn't necessarily the guy that they wanted to take a chance on from a physical perspective. And that's a problem. That's a problem if you're around the NBA, if you're looking at Bol Bol and you're seeing this report, then the natural question is, okay, so what did they find? And the Nuggets are going to be asking the same thing themselves. They've probably already got that answer from the Detroit side of things, and they're going to have to make a decision themselves on if they're going to want to find a way to deal him to another team or if they're just going to have to cut him completely.
Yeah, no, good stuff. We're chatting with Ryan Blackburn, site manager over at Denver Stiffs, as well as the host of the Pickaxe and Roll podcast right here on the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. And I do wonder, you know, what was it that Detroit did discover, right? Because, you know, Bol Bol is physically a very, you know, interesting type of player, right? Very skinny, lanky, you know, it has to beef up a little bit. So I'm curious as to what maybe they discovered. Maybe that comes out here in recent time. But there's also been a little bit of a ripple effect, right? I know that Denver was planning to try to sign DeMarcus Cousins to a potential 10-day contract. I think Mike Singer just tweeted out about 15 minutes ago that they might have to put that on hold. What are some of the ripple effects that come with having to now bring back Bol Bol or figure out what to do with his roster spot?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and they were going to keep Rodney Magruder, who they had kept and who they had acquired from Detroit. That wasn't anything that they were going to really shift around. The DeMarcus Cousins thing, that's more of a hardship exception.
Okay.
Question where Denver, Will Barton went into health and safety protocols, and Denver's natural response to that was to sign James Ennis. And they made that official. James Ennis is still in Denver. By the way, James Ennis wearing number 10,
right,
which is Bol Bol's old number, which that's going to provide some intrigue, if you will. But I do think that DeMarcus Cousins is still in the plans. Will Barton, though, cleared health and safety protocols yesterday. He's no longer sick with the COVID. And so he is going to probably play tonight for the Nuggets, which means that Denver wouldn't necessarily they wouldn't qualify for a second hardship exception, which is what they would have had with DeMarcus Cousins in town. So it's just a natural time that I think they're going to have to wait for James Ennis's hardship exception to expire, and once that happens, then they will have discussions once again.
Okay, it'll be very interesting. We're chatting with Ryan Blackburn, site manager over at Denver Stiffs. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, at NBA Blackburn. And a tweet of yours actually just came across my feed from about an hour ago. You said, "Would be shocked if Bol Bol returned to the Nuggets. The bridge is already broken, and it's appeared closer to a hostage situation than a healthy relationship for about a year. Probably time to just send him away and figure out a new solution before the February 10th deadline." What are some of those possible solutions for the Denver Nuggets and Bol Bol?
Well, it's probably still a clean break. It's probably where they keep him away from the team for a while, and they just decide that they want to move a different direction. I mean, they've already decided that. Both player and team were happy with this when the deal came across. The Nuggets and Bol, they just never really worked out. And though Denver doesn't have any ill feelings towards Bol Bol, They want to see him succeed. They want to see him find his opportunity, and they sent him to a place in Detroit where they thought that that could happen. And so that didn't happen. You're going to have to figure out what to do now, but it may come down to, like I said earlier, potentially moving him to a different rebuilding situation, or just cutting him altogether, because I think that Denver needs these roster spots as they approach the playoffs, given that Michael Porter is probably going to be out for the entire season, given that Vlatko Chanchar has been on the shelf and will continue to be on the shelf with his own injury. Denver needs these spots, and they can't have a guy that they don't necessarily trust in the rotation. And that's been pretty clear throughout this whole Bol Bol situation, is that Denver's coaching staff just doesn't really trust him.
Denver currently at 20-19, penciled in as the sixth seed right now in the Western Conference. And, you know, there's a logjam of teams right now out west. Denver loses a heartbreaker to the Clippers. What was that? Two nights ago, last night. And then they're going to come back tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers with an opportunity to bounce back. But I want to hone in on something that Michael Malone said after that game, right? And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something along the lines of, you know, sometimes I think the modern NBA player is more so worried about where they're going out than why they won or lost a game, right? And we know that Malone has always kind of drawn these lines in the sands. He's a very intense head coach, you know, lets that come out through the media. Where do you just think the relationship is with Malone having come back from the COVID with the team right now? Because it was clear that he aired some frustration after that loss to the Clippers.
Yeah, I kind of had a personal problem with it just because I think that Denver, as shorthanded as they are, without Will Barton, somebody who would naturally be stepping into some of those situations, I think that Denver was in a really tough situation creating offense. And they didn't really have an answer when certain guys didn't necessarily step up. And Michael Malone, he kind of insinuated that players were a little bit more interested in where they were going out that night rather than the actual result of the game. And I kind of have a problem with that, because the Nuggets, they all care. They want this team to continue to succeed. And it's just a really tough situation where I think that Michael Malone, he's using these bullets up where there are only a certain number of times you can call out the effort and attitude of your own team before it starts to fall on deaf ears. And I'm just a little bit worried that he's using these opportunities up early in the season, and Denver's still got a long way to go, where they've got this team and they've got this group, and this isn't changing for the next 15, 20 games or so.
Well,
Jamal Murray's not walking through that door for another few weeks here, so I think that Denver's just got to figure this out together, and dividing the locker room is probably not a good idea.
No, I agree, and I mean, relative to the standings right now in the Western Conference, I mean, there's a logjam with teams between 5 and 9 for the most part. I mean, you got Portland, who's 8 games below 500 as the 10 right now, but Minnesota a game below, the Lakers 500, the Clippers 500, Denver a game up, Dallas 2 games above 500. So I understand that maybe they're not playing their best basketball, but at the end of the day, nobody in the Western Conference is really, you know, there's a lot of teams kind of grouped up together, so it presents an interesting opportunity for Denver down the stretch. And you mentioned Jamal Murray. I do want to ask you, because I kind of expect Jamal to err on the side of caution. I mean, we all know that there's going to be no Michael Porter Jr. as well. I mean, what is the outlook for this team, just knowing the Western Conference is, you know, potentially the most fragile it's been in quite some time?
Well, I will just say that if you get anything close to a healthy version of Jamal Murray back, then it really does change everything for the outlook of this team. Think about what Denver looked like last game, where they're struggling to try to close a game against the Los Angeles Clippers. Does that happen, and do they execute so poorly if they have Will Barton in the lineup, if they have Jamal Murray in the lineup?
Right.
If they've got just a group that is a lot more competent off the dribble, a lot more competent as an offensive execution standpoint. That doesn't happen. These kinds of losses are definitely eliminated from their repertoire, in my opinion. I think that Denver is still firmly in the group where they are below the threshold of title contenders in the Western Conference, where I think below a team like the Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors, I think those two teams have really separated themselves. But could Denver beat Utah in a playoff series if they have
Absolutely.
A healthy Jamal Murray? Absolutely. Could they beat Memphis? Absolutely. Could they beat the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Lakers? Absolutely. I have zero doubt in my mind, because they have one of the best players in the world in Nikola Jokic, and they have his running mate in Jamal Murray at that point. It really does shift everything, because then you can, like, with the bench problems and the starting unit problems, everything kind of falls back into its natural order of things when you have your guy back. And so I would be a little bit less concerned about the minutiae as Denver tries to work through the muck of the season right now, if they can continue to work through it, and if they can just get through this really tough stretch, then they're going to be fine.
We shall see. Okay, one more general NBA question for you. Cam Reddish gets traded to the New York Knicks this morning. Kevin Knox going back to Atlanta. It seems like Atlanta's kind of open for business. Just curious if you have any thoughts on the Knicks acquiring a pretty good young player with a pretty high ceiling.
I like the deal for the Knicks, and I will say that Cam Reddish is kind of just a plus version of Kevin Knox. Right now, he hasn't really proven that much more than what Kevin Knox has in this league to this point, because the defense hasn't quite been there with Cam Reddish so far, despite the fact that it probably should be. So I'm a little bit concerned. I think that the Knicks are trying to make not necessarily a full-on win now move, but it's just like I'm concerned with where the Knicks are specifically. I think that Atlanta is actually approaching this correctly,
Ooh.
Where you've got a guy that's kind of serving superfluous value right now. You flip him for a 2022 first-round pick, and then can try to regroup next season when you're not so injured.
No, smart thoughts from one Ryan Blackburn. You guys can follow him on Twitter at NBA Blackburn. Man, tell people what's coming up on the Pickaxe and Roll podcast and where they can find it before we let you loose.
Of course, man. Well, everybody can follow the podcast. It's been doing good numbers lately. Really appreciate all of the support that everybody has had for that program. We'll be on tonight after just recapping the Nuggets and Blazers game. So everybody keep an eye out.
Good stuff. Ryan Blackburn, Denver Stiffs, Pickaxe and Roll podcast. We'll do it again soon, my man. Thanks for some time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Neil.
Yes, sir. There he goes. The man himself. Real good follow. NBA Blackburn on Twitter. One of the best out there covering your Denver Nuggets. All right, 3 segments down. One more to go. Can we try to make some bets tonight? I know the Nuggets do play. They got to bounce back tonight. They got to bounce back. Let's make some bets. We'll do that next right here on the program, 11:45. Anilo Pirro, Mile High City, back in the field.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.